Welcome to the Rock Church of Coastal Hills with Pastor David Archibek. We now join the service in progress.
You ready to hear the word? You know what? I thank God for the word because you know what? It says that the word of God is living. It's not just a bunch of sayings. It's living. In fact, when we apply and appropriate it in our life, you know what? That's where the word becomes living. But it says it's powerful and it's sharp, and sharper than a two-edged sword. And so I'm thankful for the word of God. Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so he fully intended for us to walk and live the word. Amen. And so sometimes we treat the word as just some sayings, but you know what? I want to encourage you, when you hear these words, Jesus said to live by it. And it's our creed. It's our life source. Amen. And how many are grateful? The Bible says, the Lord, I'm so thankful. And the psalmist said in Psalm 119, he just says, Lord, your word has been my teacher. Your word has instructed me. He said, I'm even wiser than my teachers because I give heed to your word. But I'm so thankful for the word of God because I would have had a whole lot more pitfalls. Right? Come on. You were a doer of the word and you allowed the word to work in your life. And I'm so glad because it has made the difference in my life and yours. I see heads nodding. So anyways, guys, with today, I'm continuing this series. It's called The Test for His Best. The Test for His Best. And last week, I'm going to just give you a brief overview. I gave you 4 points last week. But before I give you that review, but how many enjoy tests? Yeah, I mean, if you're prepared for them, they're pretty cool. I remember in school when I go through my classes, if you're prepared for them, and then, you know, actually, and you do well, then you can, you know, you're like high-fiving yourself and giving yourself knuckles and everything because you're so bad and all that, you know? But how about you thought you were ready for, have you ever been ready for a test, and then the teacher threw in some questions that I don't even know if they discussed this in class, right? Come on. You studied, and it's like, I don't remember the teacher or instructor talking about this. And why do they even throw these questions in? And I remember I used to get frustrated when I was in college because I can remember studying, and I study all the material that they gave, and they throw these things in. It's just, sometimes teachers would, I don't know, sometimes it felt to me like they were on a power trip to just show me how wrong and dumb I was because they weren't, tests should show you what you know, but sometimes I felt like some of the tests were just to say, you know what, you're dumb and I'm the teacher. But you know what, God will never test us in such a fashion. He doesn't sit up there, the omniscient one, folds his arm and says, man, you sure are stupid. But his goal is to instruct us, to teach us, take us through tests so he knows his heart, to impart his wisdom, to impart his truth unto us. So last week when we talked, we saw when tested, there's some things that the Lord has instructed us when going through tests. And here's four, again, quick review. God's word will test us. We think we're believing the word, but actually the word, once it's spoken, the Bible says that the word cannot fail. And did you realize that? When God gives you a specific word, the word won't fail. The word will hold true. But the thing is, will we? Amen? Sometimes if we don't get it in the next 60 seconds, then we start to doubt. Is this the will of God or where are you, Lord? And you know, how many realize, you know, there's not a, oftentimes there's not a quick fix to certain things. God wants you to ride it out and navigate with him through the storm. Amen? So God's word will test us. Number two, we saw last week that testing is an opportunity to complete us. As much as we don't, our pride will sometimes say, I don't need that, or, you know, did you learn, have you ever, this doesn't fly real well with a spouse, but, you know, if your spouse has gone through something and you look at them and say, did you learn anything? Our pride doesn't like to be shown that we were wrong. Amen. Come on, somebody. Right? We like to know the way, and we like to act like we have it all together. But it says that the word is an opportunity to complete us. In other words, if you're being tested, rest assured, God is trying to complete something in you. Amen. And then the next one, going through tests last week, we saw predetermine your profession. Predetermine your profession. What does that mean? Well, Job went through a horrific trial, the crisis of a lifetime that I don't know how many people have gone through. What he lost his family, he lost his wealth, his wife turned on him, but he held true to the Lord. He held true. In fact, it didn't mean he didn't have questions. God, why is this happening? Have you ever been in that place? God, why is this happening? Why am I feeling this way? It doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem just. But one thing, though Job was going through it, and you can look it up, Job 23:12, but he says, though I go through the fire, he says, I'm going to come forth as gold. I'm going to take the high ground. How many of you realize a test doesn't mean there's a lot of ways to go through test? There's the right way. Come on, let's get deep here. And the wrong way to go through tests. And unfortunately, the test of life, if you don't go through them the right way and take the high ground, there's some people who can end up very dysfunctional. They can end up with a lot of hate and bitterness, because a lot of times the test you and I will go through, well, how we deal with others. If you've ever gone through a betrayal from somebody you love, somebody you trusted, that's painful. Even to the point where, you know, this is crazy. I'm wrapping myself up over here. This is crazy, but I can remember when I was in the hospital. I remember I was in the medical field for 12 years, but I can remember a woman was dying, and I can remember the family, this woman had some money, and they weren't mourning her loss. The family wasn't. What they were doing is like they were trying to divide up the wealth and see who was going to get what. And there was fighting and dysfunction among family. Because I got to get mine. And if that's a test. If some, you know, if your mind hasn't been renewed and you're bent on, you know, greed, that could really mess you up. Your brother or your sister got more than you. The brother got the house, and all you got was the card collection that your dad had. You know what I mean? And it's like that could get you a little ruffled if someone got more of an inheritance. You feel betrayed, but it's a test. And how are you going to come out? Amen? You got to predetermine. I'm going to come out on top. I'm taking the high road. And though I be tried, I'm going to come forth as gold is what Job said. And lastly, we found out last week, when we're going through a test, you need to murmur and complain and shake your fist and go get even. Hallelujah. No, when you're going through something, the Bible says, count it all joy when you go through stuff. Count it all joy. I know I don't have enough right now. I know our marriage is fractured. I know that the kids have gone wrong. I know that, you know, I'm not sure where I'm going in life. I'm not sure. But you know what? I rejoice in my discomfort because I know God is working in me a deeper work. Amen. You can rejoice because testing is opportunity in what we define. In fact, we defined it last week. Testing defined Pastor Henny, who's their church is a sister church to ours. He's the one who defined this, and I stole it from him. Don't tell him. Testing defined. He says, testing is, get this, the opportunity to reveal your potential and demonstrate your maturity by displaying your true character and attitude. And I was thinking about that. How many realize there's certain things that hit you in life that you didn't know was going to come out of you? And it didn't surprise God. He knew it was there all the time. He was just trying to inform you that there's some things in you that I'm going to clean up because I'm taking you to a place and I can't use you to the degree I want to use you because there's certain things that if we don't clean up in your life, they can be damaging to other people. They can misrepresent me in the kingdom. So we're going to work some things. I got to work some things on the inside of you. So Paul's saying, rejoice. Rejoice. Peter said, rejoice in your trials. So anyways, testing defined. In fact, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We read the scripture from the Message Bible last week. And here's what it says in verse 3. It says, God tested us thoroughly to make sure we were qualified to be trusted with his message. God tested us what? Thoroughly, to make sure we were qualified to be trusted with his message. Now, again, that wasn't a mystery to God. He tested us so we would see that we were qualified to take his message. Amen. He said, be assured that when we speak to you, we are not after crowd approval, only God approval. So notice, testing is a way to get and position God and actually let him know that he is God over finances. He's the God over my relationship. He's the God over my mood swings. He's the God over my health. And to keep him at a place that he is God over your relationships. He says, we didn't do this for crowd approval, but only God approval. God is trying to get to a place that when we do something, we're just looking for the approval of who? One, God. And since we've been put through the battery of tests, you're guaranteed that both we and the message are free from error, mixed motives, or hidden agendas. These tests, guys, are, again, to reveal motivations of the heart. And I can honestly say, I've been tested, and I thought I had certain things down. And I had them down for a season. But how many realize if you don't maintenance certain things, they'll slip in your life? And God is so faithful to remind you to get certain things back in order and priority in your life. Throughout the Bible, through scripture, and we can see it in our own personal life. Tests can come as a result of being in the will of God. Why is this happening? I've obeyed you. I go to church. I'm in the Word. I'm praying. And Lord, why? Jesus was in the perfect will of God when he was tested in the wilderness. And the devil came to test him, tried to destroy him. But you know what? Can I share something? He was in the perfect will of God. So tests will come because you're in the will of God. But here's another thing. Tests will come because you're out of the will of God. How many of you remember a man named Jonah? He was running from God and swallowed by a whale to get him back on track. So he had a trial. He was taken to the depths, if you would, in his trial. But God got him realigned because he was out of the will of God. There are other trials. Trials can come just because of the devil. He's ruthless. He's absolutely ruthless. I can remember, again, when I was in the medical field, there was a woman, her health had fallen. She had gotten diagnosed with stage 4. She was sick. She had a mentally challenged baby. And all the time this kid was in and out, now her health is challenged. And then on top of that, her husband leaves her in the middle of crisis. Leaves her. I've had enough. And I can remember a minister came in and said, you know what, for all this to be happening in your life, you must have some really hidden sins in your life. I'm like, oh my gosh, you really told this woman that? And so I got into the room and she was weeping and crying. You know what, there's some things that can happen. We sow, you know, you can sow some things. But to hit somebody, oftentimes what happens is the poor devil. No, the devil comes to steal what? Kill and destroy. And there's some things that will hit your life just because he's a lousy devil. And he seeks to destroy. And he's ruthless. And in your darkest hour, he wants you to sink even further. So things can come just because the devil. Attacks can come because, guys, we live in a fallen world. Come on, right? There's accidents happen just because someone, you know, they may have been tired and they doze off and they rammed into somebody. It's just a fallen world. Bad things can happen. How about this? And this, you know what? I've had this happen. I think you probably would agree with me. How many realize things can happen in your life, ready for this? When there's complacency. Complacency. Not to say that something bad is, you know, not to stir fear, but I also know there's, you know what? Immobility and laziness, and here we go, fruitlessness. God has, and we're going to get further into this, but God has designed every one of us for a specific purpose in our life. And if we aren't achieving that, he's going to shake the nest. He will, because you will never fly. Amen. And you've heard the stories how eagles make their little, is it eaglets or fly? They push them out of the nest and they let them fall thousands of feet until that thing gets a hang. And if it doesn't choose to fly, the mom or dad, I don't know who they are, but I've heard this, you probably heard the story, but will swoop under and bear them on their back and take them back up to the nest and push them back out again. But what if the eagle said, you know what, my little child eaglet, you know, I just want comfort for her. Right? That's ridiculous. That's just for him or her. I just want my little eaglet to be comfortable and have an easy life. It's not real, right? It's not real. And so God will push us out of the nest. Amen. Thank God for that, guys. It's terribly uncomfortable. My wife has followed me for, we've been married going on 20 years this year. Woo woo! She's still a hottie. But God has pushed us out of so many nests, right? But it was so necessary for our maturing. It could have been comfortable to stay where we were. But God is saying, I got a greater. There's higher things I'm calling you to. Amen? So testing will come because of complacency. And then we can get this one. Testing comes just because of immaturity. Amen? It's funny, the immature ones don't think they're immature, right? I mean, if you've ever raised kids, I got this. Okay, you do it. Right? If you've had kids, you see that, I got this. I want to do it. I want to do it by myself. We've heard that. You let them do by themselves, and it's like, oh, my word. But things are just going to happen because you're immature. Amen? You know, I'm not going to give you that illustration. I'm going to keep moving. There's so many of Jesus' interactions with people were test-driven. And the next several weeks, guys, we're going to talk the different types of test. Now get this. They're catered for your life, and they may be extremely painful. And I'm not trying to belittle, because I know some of us, I remember Myrna years ago got hit with cancer, and we stood and prayed. Hallelujah, she's doing amazing. Dion got hit with cancer. Dolores got hit with cancer. You know, we got right here. Sam, he got was his health got hit a while back ago. I don't remember all the details, but I went and visited him in the hospital. But you guys, you can be hit with certain things in your life. But how are we going to go through? And they're always, always to take you to a higher place in God. The tests of God are never designed to destroy you, but to help you step into your calling. Amen? Amen? So I'm going to just give you a few, because we'll unpack this in the next several weeks. But Jesus, when he talked about, you know, the Pharisees came to him and says, what's the greatest commandment of all? Remember, and the Pharisees and all pious in their robes, and they says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And Jesus added one more, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And then they asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? And Jesus proceeded to tell the story of the Good Samaritan. Remember, he says, there was a man walking on a street. He got mugged and beat up and left for dead. And there was a priest who was walking on the road, saw the man in the road. He crossed to the other side. And then there was a Jew. He crossed to the other side and avoided. And Jesus is talking about your neighbor. And then there was a Samaritan who, they were reproach among the Jews. They were a hated people, seen as dogs. But the Samaritan didn't cross the road. He didn't turn around. He met the needs. Why? What was the test? The test is, are you loving like God? Who is your neighbor? Well, it's humanity. Are you going to go to the extreme to help? So you'll be tested in your love walk. The parable of the talents. What are you going to do with what God gives you? There's another test Jesus talked about, the sinner woman. Remember, she washed Simon the Pharisee's, she was at his house and washed the feet of Jesus. But God used her as an illustration of what it truly means to be broken and what it truly means to be thankful that your sins are forgiven. Simon didn't understand it, but it was a test to show Simon it's not about giving words and lip service. It's about what you do with the actions of your life. Look at this woman. She's broken, but she ministered to me. Jesus also, the 12 lepers. What was the test there that Jesus gives the illustration? There was 12 lepers, and then they were all healed. But what about the 12 lepers? Someone, somebody. One out of the 12. They were healed, but one returned. The test. What's the test? Well, when things are good and going well and the bank account is full and the relationship seems to be healthy and you're enjoying your position in life, will we return to give thanks to the Lord? That's the test. Jesus used so many things to challenge us. Are you where his standard is, or are you meeting some other standard? But the tests are necessary, guys. I'm going to give you a few powerful statements right here. Testing is to bring us into alignment with the words we speak, with the life we live. And this is another way of saying that we are not just being called Christians, but becoming Christ-like. The power of the gospel is not the message we proclaim, but the message we live. It's not just talking. God's going to take you through the fire, guys. It's no doubt he is. But it's for reason. It's for cause. Amen? Okay, and we said this last week. Testing is of no use if the lessons aren't learned. Have you ever talked to people, I'm going through something? And on the backside of the trial, did they learn anything? Or, I know a lot of people who go through stuff and you never see them at church again. I've had people vanish from church. They went through something and their life completely fell apart. And Tiana and I, we've seen this over the years. And then they show up about 3 years later. They look like they've aged 20 years. They have all this baggage and they say, I don't know why I didn't follow and stay with the Lord. Because they were tested. Were you going to take the high road or take the low road? Amen. Testing's of no use if we don't pass the lessons and learn the lessons. And we must go through a process so we can grow. I don't like the process sometimes. Amen? It's painful. It's painful. It's uncomfortable. It's inconvenient at times. But we have to go through the process. Amen? I remember I talked with a person actually this past weekend, and she said, I hate going to a specific church. I always feel so like crud after I leave the church. I feel useless after I go to the church. She says, I want to go to and hear a message that makes me feel good and tell me I'm all right, where I'm at. In other words, I want to go to a church that they're going to endorse my lifestyle. That's small thinking. And yet, we should go to church to feel good. I mean, you know, but at the same time, you realize if you go to the gym and you work out, it kind of feels good for a little while. In fact, as you finish up your workout, it feels actually pretty good. But then there's day one, day two, day three post-workout. And there's extreme pain, right? And it doesn't feel good. But it's necessary. You know, I was talking to this woman, and it's like, we should go. We want to, I don't want to beat y'all up. We don't need to beat people up. But you know what? If we're lacking, welcome it. Because God's forming his image on the inside of you. He's making you look like Christ. And if you don't look like Christ, I promise you. You know, a popular word today is represent. You know what? If we're not representing the kingdom, you're going to get rubbed. Amen? And thank God. He loves us so much to not leave us in our dirt and in our ashes and all these gross things hanging off of us. Spiritually, that is. He's not going to keep us that way. Amen? So there's, guys, I'm going to give you, what is it? It's three things today. Three things. Why this test? It's to further to expound on this. And then next week, Pastor Steve's going to preach next week about being tested. But the first thing, why this test? You might have asked, have you ever asked that at one time or another? Why this test? And number one, you're tested for genuine. You're tested for genuine. Are you genuine? God is looking for us to be genuine. I want us to read what 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 says. Through 9 in the Message Bible. It says, I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. Pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. I want to go on to verse 8 and 9. It says, you never saw him, yet you love him. You still don't see him, yet you trust him with laughter and singing because you kept on what? Believing. You'll get what you're looking forward to, total salvation. In other words, it says, in fact, another translation, God is looking at your faith to be genuine. Genuine means this. I looked it up in the Webster's. It says, genuine means this, truly what something has been said to be. Actual, authentic, original, bona fide, undisputed, honest to goodness, and I added this one, the real deal. I had somebody one time talking about a Christian brother I knew, and they said, you know, they're the real deal. What is that saying? Genuine. Genuine. I think that's one of the things that lacks oftentimes, and the one thing to get that gets a genuine faith out of you is really going through stuff. Listen, learn to go through stuff with God. I know sometimes you could be so frustrated, so overwhelmed, so discouraged. And if you don't learn to go through it with God, you'll never achieve his counsel. Because what happens when you go through something with God, you get to know God. Your faith becomes so genuine. It becomes real. Dion and I, there are certain things that we've gone through. And because we went through these certain trials and oppositions and failures. Did you know when you're going through tests, you'll fail? I don't want to say it was perfect because we went through the grind on something. Anybody been through the grind on some things? But God, if you get a hold of God and go through the trial the right way, you learn to talk. I remember one time I lost somebody in my life years ago. It was so painful. The pain was so real. And I can remember going into my prayer room and said, God, this is so overwhelming. It's so painful. I don't know how I could do it. I don't know. I don't know if I can keep going with this. I don't know. I wanted to quit. But then out of my spirit came, God, do your deep work in me. This is hard. And I have a hard time even getting focused on God. But God, do a deep permanent work on the inside of me. So welcome it, because God wants genuineness in us. Amen. I think if there's anything that's frustrating, and I think we've all come across, have you ever seen people who try to act spiritual? They could say all the right things. But have you ever left talking with somebody who says, that wasn't really genuine? They'll say stuff like, love you, brother. And it's like, I felt no love there. And there's that question of genuineness. And genuineness is birthed out of just being in the fire of affliction with the Lord. Because you get to learn to look. Because oftentimes, guys, here's the thing. Learn to come. If you go through a trial and you start to consult and everybody else, what do you think of my trial? What do you think? Now, granted, there's some good godly counsel we need to get a hold of. And sometimes we need that tangible encouragement. But guys, that should only be a small percentage of the counsel you're going through. You get in the Word for yourself. Get to know God for yourself. Because He's working something genuine on the inside of you. Stop asking what everybody else thinks. Stop asking what, you know, the internet thinks about your situation. And all your friends and Dr. whoever, right? Oprah. What does Oprah think? Get a hold of God for yourself. Amen. He's seeking for the genuine. You know, I'm going to go to number two. I have a few more things, but I'm going to. Number two. We saw from number one, God is looking for what? Genuine faith. A genuine faith. So number two, when tested, God is looking for number. Number two is this. He tests us for fruitfulness. He tests us for fruitfulness or productivity in our life. Amen? He's looking for maximum productivity out of our life. John chapter 15 in the Message Bible. Jesus says it this way. He says, I am the real vine and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes or fruit. And every branch that is grape-bearing, notice, the branch is bringing forth grapes, he prunes. Ow, he prunes. But Lord, I was bringing forth some grapes. In fact, you know, other people saw my grapes. In fact, some people ate of my grapes. They said they were pretty sweet, Lord. But why are you pruning? Ouch. Grape bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. Can you put it this way? God's kind of greedy over your life. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Look at verse 4. Live in me, make your home in me. This is Jesus talking. Just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine. You can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. Listen to verse, listen to the next verse. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. When you are joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, notice, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. God is looking for fruitfulness. Let me share something with you. I know it could be discouraging. Sometimes, have you ever, I think some of us, I think probably many of us were probably raised in a certain kind of atmosphere that you were almost like, man, do I do anything right? Or been in that atmosphere, maybe at the job, someone's staring at you and looking over your shoulder, everything you did, and you felt like, I'm the worst. It could even be a spouse. You just felt like, is there anything I do right? And that's a frustrating place to be. Because you start hearing that enough that you're not doing things right, what could happen? You could almost begin to believe it. Now, the accountability is good, but guys, if you're in a real, that's a good challenge for yourself. Are people being torn down and illegitimized, or do they feel less of a person after speaking with you? Are they built up? After they talk to you, do they know what they're not? Or do they know who they are after talking to you? Amen? But here with the Lord, it's not that God is like looking at your life, not enough fruit. He looks at your life, not enough fruit, not productive enough. We need to get someone to replace them. Listen, God's not doing that. The reason why God looks at your life to prune it and wants more fruit, because you know what it does? You begin to see and step into the fullness of your calling. There's a lot of frustrated Christians because you're not walking in the fullness of what God has called you to be. And if you're living that a lesser Christian life, That's probably why. Because you're not bringing forth my, the Lord will want you to bring fruit because he wants you to enjoy the fruit of your labor. You know the scripture says he wants you to enjoy the fruit of your labor. He wants you to see what you can be when you're living and abiding in him. Have you ever been able to see that, guys? Have you given yourself over to his pruning? Have you allowed him to do his thing? Or did you cease in your pursuit? Amen. I know some pruning, it's not right. God had some things to say about the way I treated people. When I first got saved, I wasn't a very good person. Is there anybody else in that camp? Oh, you all were good people. Oh, you bunch of liars. Were you all good people to other people? Nobody raised their hand. You bunch of liars. I need to preach to the drums. I was a bad person. I was raw. Man, because you know why? The only one I could see was me. And what my needs were, and what my fulfillment, and what my desires were, and what was, you know, priority to me, and anything else that was inconvenient to me. And I didn't value people. God had some rough things to say to me and teach me how to love. Teach me how to serve. And to learn to put other people first. And God had to train me. He says, when you start to put other people first, it says, he who abases himself will be exalted. He says, if you want to find your life in me, you have to lose your life. But you know what? In losing your life, you'll gain and find your life by doing it Christ's way. Because you know what? He wants you to operate in maximum productivity of your life. But it'll also be the maximum as far as you'll see what I was created for. This is what I was created for. God's design on purpose, and he's fulfilling that in me. So when God sees you lacking, it's not because he could never find anything good in me. No, God is doing this because I've created you for greatness. And I have to prune you so to get you there, because otherwise you won't succeed when you get there. So I have to prune you now. It's a painful process right now. But when you get there, it'll glorify me. And not only that, it'll glorify you. Not in the way like God, but you know, it's a glory to know that you're doing what you were created to do. Amen? So he will prune you. Man, look at your neighbor and say, it's good to be pruned. And lastly, guys, when we ask why this test, this is important. This is important that we get this. I call this the test of the flesh. The test of the flesh. This is the test that shows to be approved by God. This is one of them to be approved by God. The test of the flesh. Pinch yourself. You got flesh? Yeah, you got flesh. Me too. And I got news. Your flesh is spoiled. Your flesh wants its way. Your flesh wants to sleep too much, play too much. Your flesh wants Burger King. Have it your way. Your flesh wants to be right. Your flesh wants to eat too much. Your flesh, and it can go on. And on and on. But we have to go through the test flesh. The test of the flesh. Not the test flesh. The test of the flesh. It's the test flesh. Yeah, that's right. Test your flesh. James chapter 1, it says in verse 12. It says, of chapter 1, it says, blessed is the man who, and get this, endures what? Notice, blessed is the man who endures temptation. That word is testing, trial. But what is it? Blessed is the man who, that word endures means to overcome. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has what? Been what? Approved. One thing I found out, if we don't pass the test in certain areas, if you don't get that stamp of approval on God, you won't go to the promotion. You won't get there. And what happens, you can get really frustrated. If you don't pass that approval, the God approval test, I want God to approve me. Now, he loves you, and he accepts you, and he could never possibly love you more. But he can't promote you to another place until you pass the test of the flesh. So it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, notice when he has, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised, notice, to those who love him. You know, your greatest, guys, when you're going through a test of your flesh, you can look at the repercussions, test of the flesh. You can be tempted sexually. You can be tempted to be angry. You can be tempted to take vengeance into your own, take things into your matters into your own hand. You can be tested that way. And you can think, oh man, God will get me if I do that. You could think that way. And I think a lot of Christians do. I used to think that way. Anybody think that way? God's going to get me because I've been a bad person. Bad, 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 bad. But the thing that's just the shift of overcoming temptation. Can I share? And that's what this verse is saying. It's to those who love him. If you want to overcome, think of the love relationship with God. Think of the love relationship that he has for you, that you should have for him. There's other, and also, when you're overcoming, there's temptations that affect other people. There's certain things that you'll abstain from. This is coming to mind because I've dealt with it regularly. A husband with kids battling with porn. He got bit by that porn bug. But you know what? It's jeopardized his relationship with his wife. Jeopardized relationship with his kids. It's put him in a compromised place with God and unfulfillment and beating himself up and shame and all the repercussions of a bad choice because of a temptation. But you know what? If he utilized and brought to remembrance the love, you know what? I'll overcome because of love. Number one, love for God. Love for God, let it fuel. But love for my wife, I could never put her in that position. And love for my kids. And you start putting love first. Notice, it says that there's a crown of life the Lord has promised to those who what? Guys, that's one of the chief battle line right there to overcoming temptation. Remember the love. God so loved me. I so love God. I so love those who, because you know there's nothing that you can cater to with your flesh that doesn't leave others unharmed. You might think it doesn't harm them, but it does. So it says, let no one say, verse 13, it says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, nor does he tempt himself. I mean, does he himself tempt anyone? Verse 14, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his desires and enticed. Then when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So, guys, so overcoming temptation, love. But listen, it also gives you a little more insight that God isn't putting this temptation, God has tempted me. No, you're the problem. And it shows right here, verse 14, it says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away. Drawn away. There's a drawing away that pulls the test of the flesh. There's a drawing away. You begin to think on it. Okay? I know I shouldn't be eating that donut, but it's over there on the counter. In fact, it's not good for me. I promised myself I would never eat a donut. Is it a Krispy Kreme? Does it have chocolate? Ooh, is it warm? I love warm Krispy Kreme. You see what I'm doing? I'm being drawn away. I've been drawn away. We begin to, but you know what? It happens when people commit infidelity. It happens when people embezzle. Well, what could I do? Nobody would know if I embezzled that money. Nobody would ever know. And you know what? They wouldn't even miss. It's only $100. Nobody would even know except me. And it's not hurting anybody. But see what happens? You start to rationalize it. That's the drawing away. That's the drawing away. Amen. You know you shouldn't talk about somebody, but you start thinking about that relative who is so rude, and you think, oh, I can't believe they actually said that. You know, they'll say it this year at Thanksgiving. I know they'll say it again. And you begin to think about it. You know, she always does that in front of everybody at Thanksgiving party, and then you begin to stew on it. What is that? It's being drawn away. And so what happens when you draw away with that? Let's see what happens. It says, but each one is tempted when he's what? Drawn away, get this, by his own desires, then he's enticed. Finally, you said, I'm going to give it to him. I'm going to let him know. I'm going to give into it. That's the giving in. You let it. Where does the temptation begin? In your thinking. Amen? It says, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Verse 15, then when desire has conceived, you finally gave way to it, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. How many realize once you've surrendered to that Krispy Kreme? Just one time. And you know what's there. How many realize the next time? Then the next time. And then there's a next time. Now that's innocent as far as when we're talking about food. But how about the embezzlement? You only took $100 at one time and nobody knew. And then you're in a financial need. And of course, the profits are astronomical through the roof at the business. Absolutely. I mean, they would never know another $100. And after all, I need it. And I've been putting in overtime. And nobody's recognizing my talents and my overtime right here. So another $100, they'll never see. And then the greed. And then next time, it's not $100. Well, they didn't notice. I've already taken $200 and nobody ever knew. $500, $5,000. See what I mean? And a drawing away. A drawing away. That right there, guys, you have to stop it in your thinking. It'll come in every one of your relationships. So if somebody you're getting ready to unload on and blow your opinion into their face. And hatred, it comes the same way. Right? Hatred. It will happen. You start thinking about all they've done to somebody you love and what they've done to you and what they did to your kids. And the next thing you know, that root of bitterness will begin to rise up. But every man is what? Drawing away. So how can we overcome? The ultimate motive, should it be, because God's going to get me if I don't. Love. I got to keep this place of relationship. Because God has promised me a crown of righteousness when I overcome. So with that, why this test? Number one, God tests for genuineness. As gold is refined into fire. Number two, why this test? God tests for what? What's number two? Fruitfulness and productivity. Can you say your life is fruitful and productive for the kingdom of God? And in the things you put your hands to. And number three, why this test? Because God wants to approve you. So he'll send us through the test of the flesh. Can we control our flesh? Yeah, you control your thinking. You can control any temptation. Amen? Because that's the root of it. Amen? Did you guys get something from the Lord on that? Yeah. Because we're testing for his best. Test for his best. Amen? We want his best. Amen? You know what? And again, I want to make sure, you guys, I don't want you to think I'm minimizing your trauma. Please never, never. It's not a game. And some of you are in real painful situations. I've been in those situations where I was so hit with crisis in my life, it would have been easier for me to die. I thought about dying. It's like, man, if I was to die, wouldn't have to go through this. So I'm not trying to minimize trials. But guys, we can overcome in trial. And God will get us to his place. You have to be exposed to some of these things because he's taking each and every one of us to a place. So we're living a full capacity Christian life. Are you willing to let God do that in you? So welcome the test. Just welcome it. You may not understand it. You may not have all the answers, but just welcome it. God, bring it. Bring it. It's so uncomfortable. It's painfully uncomfortable. But bring it, and God, I'll hold to you. I'll hold to you in this. Amen. One more time. Did you get something from God?